funny because pastor usually asked, well, what have you been studying? What's on your heart? What have you been reading? And he said, you know, just share from your heart. And I was sitting there. I didn't tell him. I was like, you know, last couple of weeks I've been reading through Revelations. We're going to have fun tonight. No. Don't get me wrong. I like Revelations, but that's not where we're going. Can we just stand up for a second? And lots of exercise here, eh? This is awesome. Stretch your hands forward. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we have ears to hear what you have to say. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can bring you glory and honor, and we have attentive hearts towards you. For it's your word that will change our life to bring us glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, tonight, you know, I was just thinking a little bit about a couple of scriptures and about pressing forward. You know, when I was thinking about a title, because you got to have a title for the person that does the tapes. You know, well, not tapes anymore, but it's like you got to have a title. So, pressing forward. So, I'm just going to touch on a few things, which I thought was really exciting, you know, because sometimes we have to learn how to keep continue pressing forward. Amen. Like the song said, even when the walls are still up, we still got to realize that we are victorious, right? That we already have the victory. And sometimes, though, we just need a little bit of encouragement to just kind of get us over the next one. You know, I love what Pastor Ken said about Corrie ten Boom. And, you know, there was one thing I heard, that when she was in the prison camp, her and this other lady, I'm not sure who it was, whether her sister or somebody was with her, and they went to this room, or this whatever they call them, like the holding place. There's all these ladies there, and one of the ladies said to her, we have bed bugs in this one. And the lady with Corrie ten Boom is like, oh, bed bugs. And one of the other ladies behind her said, but the guards leave us alone. Corrie ten Boom was like, thank you, Lord, for the bed bugs, if you understand what I mean. The guards didn't touch those ladies. Thank you, Lord, for the bed bugs. Sometimes we don't know the situation we're in, and God says, you know what, just keep pressing through, amen? We just got to keep pressing through. So I was going to look at Philippians 3:12. It says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And we got to realize that we got to carry on and we got to keep pressing on. Amen. We got to press on and go and don't look what's behind us. It doesn't matter what's behind us. Amen. We got to keep pressing on. Doesn't matter what happened to me yesterday. I don't live in yesterday, right? We got to keep pressing on. I don't live in my hurts or my failures or my defeats from yesterday. We carry on. The word says that we go from victory to victory to victory. We're not to go from victory to defeat, from victory to defeat. We're supposed to go from victory to victory to victory. But realizing that if we do have a situation, we have a bit of struggle, because we all do. None of us are perfect. And we all have our pride we can't go through. And that's why the word says we just continue pressing on. Amen? So I want to go to Acts. And this is just a little story we're going to look at. And just look at a couple of points there. We won't keep you long, you know. And Miss Kendra, I want to know if I wanted, because last time I was here, I used a handheld, because I find the other one keeps falling off my ears, and I think it's because they're too big maybe or something. I don't know. So I thought, well, I'll just use this, and we'll go from there. And I know that when I hold it close, I can hear myself breathing in it. So you got to, if anybody know who Rick Renner is, if you ever watch him when he used to have a handheld, he has a big cleft in his chin, and he used to go like this, and he always left it there, which actually could be good because you don't get this. The sound guy's not doing this. So he used to, but I'm not going to try that because I get hair all over it and all that stuff there. But so Acts 4:29, it says, this is after there was some persecution. Some of these things happened. So now they're praying. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, what's really exciting is I'm going to look at four things out of this scripture. Nice and simple, but it keeps us going, and I like the fact that as we go through, we'll see that they didn't pray to get out of the situation. You know, I was reading that today, and it's like, they didn't pray, Lord, get us out. They said, Lord, that they have boldness to carry on in the situation, that we may preach your word. So the first thing we need to understand in verse 29 is that God sees your problem. Because they say, Lord, look at the threatenings. We got to realize that God sees our problems. He knows where we are. He's not surprised when we go through something. He's not shocked when something happens, when persecution comes to us, when we hit a wall, when we get stuck in something, when we have some problems, when our kids go do something, you know, when our wife or our husband does something. God doesn't go, oh, what happened? He knows. He sees. Amen. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's there. He knows it. But they said, Lord, look. And then they carried on. You know, it's exciting. Look, behold their threatenings, but grant unto thy servants boldness that we can carry on. We got to realize that he sees our problems, that he's not a distant God. Amen. That he's there. He's with us. And we are also with him, realizing that we are seated on the right hand of the Father. In James 1, 5 to 9, it says, I'm still old school, because actually, believe it or not, I find this sometimes still faster than going my iPhone, because I'm not very techy. So I like my Bible, I get to look at it. But James 5, 1 to 9 says, 5 to 9, sorry. James 1, it is 1. Sometimes I can't read my own writing. It's typed. Maybe I'll just wait. Can you get that, James 1, 5? Any of you, can you go to the next verse? I might have put the wrong verse down. Oh, there we go. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Next verse. Let not any man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, because he is a double-minded man. You know, what's really exciting about this is, what really struck me about being a wave being tossed is, always know that a wave goes back and forth, and we're not supposed to be like that. But you realize that a wave is a wave because the water is stirred by outside influence, whether it be the gravitation of the moon, whether it be the wind, whether it be underwater currents. We are not to be like wave. We are not to be moved by an outside influence. Amen. We are to be moved by what's living and what's living on the inside of us. We are to be moved by the Word of God. And the problem is well, sometimes we get stuck in a situation, and then instead of going to the Word and saying, what does the Word say, we'll go to somebody else. What would you do in this situation? Which is really good if the other person's a believer and has the same spirit of faith. Because in Acts, before that, it says they went to their own company. So if you're asking another believer, that's one thing. But when you go to somebody who doesn't know the Word, and they say, what do I do in this situation? I'm a little bit shy of money. What should I do? And your friend says to you, well, stop giving to the church, because there's part of your problem right there. Well, what do we know? Give, and it shall give unto you, right? Should men give unto you? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. We got to realize that if our finances are a little bit tight, we continue to do what the Word says, amen? We're not tossed. It's like having boldness to continue speaking the Word, having boldness to continue to get through the persecution, so that when our finances are a little bit tight, because I've been there, I know me and my wife, we've been there, our finances are a bit tight, and I've had people say, well, maybe you shouldn't do this. Maybe you should be putting your money aside. It's like, I know what the Word says. So we go through that, because some things are temporal, but the Word of God is always eternal, amen? So we got to realize that we need to not be moved by an outside influence, right? We need to stop doing this and say, what does the Word say? What does the Word say about my marriage? What does the Word say about your kids? What does the Word say about your finances? What does the Word say about your job? What does the Word say? Amen? We need to stop doing this and realizing the Word says this. God knows where I am. So when you read and you get a rhema, you got to realize, okay, that rhema is for me, because God knows where I am in your life. God knows what I'm going through. God's not out there looking down, looking surprised, looking shocked. He knows. So he will have a word for you in your situation. He will have a word for you in what you're going through. Amen? He will have a word that says, well, maybe you don't give there. Maybe you need to give there. I'm not talking about tithing. I'm talking about offerings. It might be maybe you need to buy that neighbor a Spirit Alive ticket. Right? You know, I remember I asked somebody I work with who's a believer, and it's like, I got Spirit Alive things. Would you and your wife like to go? well, money's a bit tight. I said to my wife, I almost looked at him and said, but maybe you need to go to something like this. Because it's this thing where you're so, believing into the ministry. You're sowing into the ministry, right? But that's not my job to tell him that. It's the spirit of, I didn't feel compelled to tell him that, you know. And that's where we got to realize, that, what does the word say? And sometimes the word tells us to do something you might not think, well, that seems kind of weird. I'm sick. Well, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. That doesn't make sense. But that's what the king did. And what happened? He came out healed, amen? And it wasn't after the 5th time. It wasn't after the 4th time. It was 7 times he dipped and he came up. Because sometimes God will tell, I know with me, God will tell me to do something. Go do this 7 times. So I'll go in. 1, hasn't happened yet. 2, and I might get to 6. That hasn't happened yet. Well, I'm done. No, no, God said do it 7 times. He might tell you to give, or he might tell you to continue doing whatever it is you're doing. You might have, Lord, you know, I'm having a problem with my marriage. Make her dinner. Oh, it doesn't make sense. I don't know how to cook. Well, it's always a recipe book, right? You can always buy cook. You know what I mean? He might tell you something simple that will change. I know me and my wife, we're not perfect. You know, well, one of us might be, hey, honey. I won't tell you which one. But, you know, there are times when we've gotten into a discussion, and, like, it's a real strong discussion, and like, I'm in one room, and she's in one room, and I've had the Lord say to me, go give her a hug. I'm like, I don't think she'll receive from me right now, because she's mad. And, you know, mad. And if you know what Italian women are like, when they get mad, anyway, and she's English, so she's stubborn as well. No. But, you know, and it's like, and I've gone over and not said nothing to her, and she's standing there, and I've gone over and I've given her a hug, and all of a sudden it's like a wall just came down, and then we started talking. Because I do, you know, it seems, well, that seems kind of weird, but that's what God told me to do. Sometimes, you know, there are times when he might go do something like this, like go take the clothes out of the dryer, or go do this, or don't put the clothes in the dryer, because I don't wash very good. You know what I mean? But listen to what the word says, and sometimes half our problems would be gone if we simply obeyed what God told us to do. Really, right? Think about it. If we all have problems and we did what God told us to do simply in the word or what he revealed to us, our problems would be basically gone. We'd have our struggles, like the believer, they all did, the apostles did, but he knows the answers, amen? He knows how to get us through. And the one verse says that by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus, Acts 4:30. Or verse 29 says, we ask for a filling of confidence that's greater than us, because they ask to be filled. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know what's exciting about that is that it's a spirit of fear. Because we naturally do have a thing to be afraid. Like, you know, I've heard people say, well, there's, you know, a good fear or there's a natural fear. Like, I don't walk up to a lion. You know what I mean? I don't walk close to the edge of a building that's 20 stories high. There's a natural being afraid. This is a spirit of fear, because there's a difference when things come from our emotions or when the enemy tries to put something in our spirit. It's like laughter, happiness is an emotion. Ha, ha, ha. Joy is of the spirit. The spirit of the Lord is there's freedom. And it's the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's a spiritual joy. It's different than being happy, because you can be a place where you have a spiritual joy. You have a confidence in him, because even he says, I will give you peace that the world does not know. That you can have a peace that comes out of your spirit. Amen. So he says, verse 29 says, look, behold their threatenings, grant thy servants boldness that they may speak the word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy child Jesus. That's hard to do when you don't walk in love. To walk through and to walk into a place where you're being threatened or persecuted, and to carry on living like God wants you to live. Because I might not like the fact that I've seen, say, like a friend of mine, I've seen as somebody before we both got saved, so I've known this guy a long time, and I've seen people preach at him, because we used to work with a guy who got saved, and this guy was radical, and he was preaching. My friends never grew up in a church at all. Go to Sunday school and stuff like that. And I seen somebody preach him to the point that he shut down. So I was like, okay. So after I got saved, I'm like, I'm not going to preach at him because I know what he's like. But because of the love of God, and I know that God loves him, I got to or had to figure out, how am I going to share the gospel at him without beating him down? Because it's the love of God that brings people to repentance. Let him realize that it's the love of God that God doesn't sit there and say, look at your sin, you're going to hell. That's what, it doesn't say that. It says, look at the answer because of the problem you're in. You know what I mean? When you look at it, when God speaks to us and we're to evangelize to people, we got to talk to them about the love of God, amen? You know, when people say, oh, your sin will find you out, that's not for unbelievers. They know what they're doing. They're sinners. When I was a sinner, what did I do? I sinned. People always look at the big stuff. Sin just means disobedience from God, missing the mark. So if this is the mark, which is Jesus Christ, whether you're here or you're over there, we've all missed the mark, amen? We've all been there. We were born that way. So what we got to realize is that because of the love of God, that we have the boldness to be able to speak to our neighbor because we know that God loves them. And it doesn't matter if he's going to be a little bit upset with us and not tell us. And, you know, then you got to, like I say, you got to walk in love and realize, how are we going to witness to our neighbors? How are we going to sit there and deal with our family? How are we going to sit there and talk to people? You know, I know I shared with them, like with the, when you're doing leadership there, I remember, you know, Robbie and Pastor Corey one time asked me to do a course with the TC guys a couple years ago, the financial course. So I'm sure. So I'm there, and so I'm going to get ready to hang out with these things. And my wife says to me, she goes, how's your attitude? What attitude? You know, what attitude? Because growing up in an alcoholic family, I had an attitude towards people that were drinkers. And I didn't see it. Like Pastor said, there are sometimes I can see what I see, and there's sometimes people can see something in you that you might not see. Like I could have dirt on the back of my head, and I don't see it. I could have an attitude, and I don't see it. And she's like, because she's seen me around, like, you know, somebody that we know that's a little bit intoxicated, and I'm like, you know. So these guys are not intoxicated, but I got to check myself because I know the lifestyle that they're coming out of. And if some of these guys are new, like I've gone there, and not the guys in the course I'm at, but beforehand, the guy who's like just showed up, and he's like, wants to talk to me, and I'm like, okay, I got no attitude, you put yourself in this mess, and that's not the love of God, amen? So we have to be able to realize, and so I've had to deal with the attitude over the last couple of years, and it's been good, it's been a good challenge for me, and it's been a change for me. Now I love going there, and I'm going there, and over the summertime, they had somebody was on holidays, and Pastor Corey's like, hey, can you come and help out for the night? Sure, I love it, let's go. These guys, great bunch of guys, have a good time. But it was a few years ago, it was a challenge for me to not just walk in there with a fake smile, you know what I mean, but to walk in there with the genuine love of God, to be able to not to preach at these guys, but just to share with them and just to talk to them and just get to know them. And it's been exciting, you know, because perfect love casts off all fear, because there's no fear for me to be there because you love the guys, right? No fear when you walk in perfect love because it casts off all fear. And verse 30 is about the signs and wonders may be done by the Holy Child Jesus. So first one, we understand that God sees our problem. We ask for a feeling of confidence because love is greater. And when the third one is that believe God is working a miracle in your life because he has given us all authority and power. Amen? Ephesians 1. I know a lot of times some of this stuff we've already heard, but it's always nice to get a little bit more encouragement. Amen? Ephesians 1 verse 19 says, maybe I'll start at verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, to which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power. Everybody say, far above. Far above. Say, that's me. Far above. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in age to come. And verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. That's us. So we got to realize that even when we go through persecution, and if it's persecution, there's certain things we can do about it. If it's things that we're going through and we're having a hard time and we feel that the enemy's coming against us, we have authority, right? We have authority. Some of the time, the problem is, I think we forget we have authority. I think we forget. And you know how you know? By the things that we say. How we activate our authority is by speaking what the word says. Amen? If I'm sick and I'm like, okay, Lord, why haven't you healed me? His answer is, well, one of us is a liar. Let God be true and all men are liar. And it's like, well, because I used to say, well, why am I not healed? Actually, because I had, you know, one time, like, well, why, Lord, why haven't you healed me? Well, which one of us is a liar? I'm like, what do you mean? Well, you're already healed. So what are you getting? Your confession is that you're not healed. Why am I not healed? Well, it's your confession. Why am I not healed? Confession should be, I don't care about the sickness. I don't care about the symptoms, but thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that I am healed, that by his stripes I am healed. And I love it that Brother Hagin says that when he was on the bed, and when he was, I think, 17, and he got a revelation in Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, that God said to him, does a sick man stay in bed? So that's one of the reasons why he got up. You ask my wife, there are times that I get up and I'm feeling, it's cold or whatever. And I get up, and I get up anyway, because a sick man doesn't stay in bed. And usually, like I say, by the time I'm up half an hour, or by the time I get to work, all the symptoms are gone. Because a sick man doesn't, or a healed man doesn't stay in bed. Amen? Well, if I have to go to the hospital, well, get healed. Go to the world, get healed, then go to the hospital to get rest. I have nothing against going to doctors. I've been there. Nothing against going to the hospital. But believe what the word says. Mix that with your faith. Amen? Because I love what Pastor said a few weeks ago. He says, don't believe for a good report. Because then what happens if you get a bad report? Will your faith stop? It is if you believe the bad report. You might be going, well, I need a good report from the doctor. No, you don't. Because you know what you can do is say, oh, the report says this. Now I know what to fight for. Now I have a weapon. Now I know what Goliath's head looks like. Oh, I have a blockage in my neck. Oh, thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I'm healed. I thank you, Lord, that my blood flows, that my veins are open. Oh, the doctor said there's a lump. Oh, well, now I know what to fight for. When you get a bad report, if it's not the report you're looking for, say, well, now I know what Goliath looks like. Now I know what to sling my arrows at or my sling at, amen? Now you know what to aim for. Look at the report and say, thank you, Lord, for a revelation of what's wrong with my body, because my body now has to line up to the word of God. Amen? You know, I went in for a, because you know when you're 50-something, you have to go for a, what do you call it? You know where they put the tube in your mouth and they the tube up, you know, the other end? It's got to make sure they do the mouth first. It's a separate tube. A colostomy or whatever it is. So we're in there and, you know, we're sitting there because I go in. Then we go to the doctors, and they're like, everything's, because I feel fine, and there's nothing wrong with me that way. So the doctor's like, we found whatever it is, some polyps or whatever. I'm like, he goes, do you have a problem eating bread? I said, do I look like I have a problem eating bread? No. I said, no. I eat probably too much bread. I eat bagels and stuff like that. He goes, oh. He goes, because according to the report, he says, you have celiac disease. I'm like, what is celiac disease? He goes, it's a bad allergy to gluten, bread. I'm like, really? He goes, you have no problem eating bread? I said, no. I said, my body is fine when it comes to food. Thank you very much. And I said, he was like, oh. I told that to somebody. He said, you know what I still do? I still eat bread, probably too much bread. I eat bagels, I eat bread, I eat, you know, Cheerios, Honey Nut Cheerios, and stuff like that. And my body has no problem with eating gluten. And I'm like, have I changed my diet? No, because it doesn't matter. I just live like I don't know what the report is because it never bothered me before. Now, it's easy to sit there and go online and say, what is celiac disease? Oh, so what happens is you start changing your focus to this instead of, well, I'm just going to continue on the way I'm going because Psalm 91 seems to be working for me so far. No evil can come against me, you know? And it's like, oh, because this seems to be working now, so why would I start going to this? And that's why sometimes we have to be very careful about what we do with our internet. Oh, I got a report. What are those white dots? Who cares? Really?
by his stripe. If you're not sure, go to Deuteronomy, because all those curses, it says, and even the ones that are not named yet, but in him is healing. Amen? Well, it doesn't. Why don't keep going to the report. Once you see Goliath, then you know what to aim for. Then put the report down, right? Why do we have to keep going to the report? Because we're natural. But don't. Realize that it says here that he has raised us up. He has given us power. You know, if you look at that, there's the power which is dunamis, like dynamite. He has given us power. But not only has he given us power, he's also given us authority. Amen? So, you know, it's like you have the thing where the policeman has the authority when he has his uniform to stop the car. He doesn't have the power, because if you have a car and you disobey it, you can run him over. But you know what? He's also given us the authority. He's also given us power over the enemy that we could stop the car, spiritually speaking, right? What we, like I said, sometimes we, and I'm, like I said, I'm not perfect. Sometimes we seem to forget that. We seem to realize, because we find our minds wandering. That's why the word says we got to focus on those things, think on those things which are lovely and a good report. And those, look at those things, because you have to take every thought captive. You know that it can be a struggle when you're going through something to take every thought captive? Because then you got to realize, that's why I think praise is so exciting. So, and then 4, verse 31, it says to be filled with the Spirit. Isaiah, or Luke 4, I believe Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. When he says that, that is you. Amen. He fulfilled it then. We fulfill it now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has given me the anointing. It's upon me. It's upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Jude 20 says to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. That's the only time in Scripture where he uses it says holy faith. Not just faith, but holy faith. Speaking in a spiritual language. I believe it's because when you're praying in tongues, over your situation, because it's out of the Spirit, it's bypassing your mind. So maybe that's why it's his most holy faith, because you're building yourself up without your intellect, without our flesh getting in the way, without our mind being carnal, amen? We just pray in tongues when you're going along. This situation comes up, thank you, Lord, hallelujah. And we continue to build ourselves up, amen? I love the fact that praise is so important. Because in Matthew 21:16, I have the ASV here, but Matthew 21:16, I'm out of order. Stephanie, I apologize. Because I highlighted it for everything to try and be organized tonight. I've been back there, so I know what it's like. Especially when you got to double check. Because sometimes people will do a scripture and you're like, that's not it. So then you got to go. That's why I like my Bible, because it's okay, they're off by one or two verses. Matthew 20, okay. Now this is after the children are blessing God and they're praising Jesus as he's going along, right? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you ever read, out of the mouths and babes, nursing infants, you have perfected praise. I love that term. You have perfected praise. He is quoting, can you bring up Psalm 8:2? He is quoting Psalms 8:2. Remember that term, perfected praise. Then Psalm 8:2 says, out of the mouths of nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Perfected praise, ordained strength. That's why praise is so important, because Jesus here is saying, if you want strength, praise him. If you want perfected praise and ordained strength, that's why the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because Jesus changed that, because he is allowed, because he is the word. And he says, out of the mouths and babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. He says, a perfected praise. It's amazing. That's the scripture he's quoting. And he's saying, these people are praising me. When you get to a point that you can fully praise him, then now you have ordained strength. Because when you praise him, you're focusing on him and not the problem or not the report. Because you're praising him, realizing that it doesn't matter what my body feels like. I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I'm healed. I thank you, Lord, that healing is done for me. I thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years ago you went on that cross, and because your back was whipped, I am healed. I thank you, Lord, that you identified, you became sin so I could become righteousness. I thank you, Lord, that you became sickness so I could become healing. Amen? That's ordained praise. That's when we realize that it doesn't matter what my family is going through. I thank you, Lord, that your word says that if I walk with you, that my my family will be serving God. I thank you, Lord, that if my kids are astray, I can be like Moses and said, I'm coming out into the promised land and I'm not leaving my children behind. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that your word says this. And as Pastor Kenneth mentioned, whatever happened before, he can do it again. Amen. If he did it for Moses, he'll do it for me. Moses was a servant. I'm a child of God. Even Moses had to go to the cross. Moses wasn't born again, but woo, I am. If he did it for David, he'll do it for me. Amen. I don't have to dance naked. I can dance here fully and in the Spirit. He moved because he wasn't sure. I move because the Spirit's already within me. I don't have to dance in the temple. I am the temple dancing. We got to realize, woo, it doesn't matter. We can be like John. I was telling my wife, I was reading Revelations the other day. I just got four verses. We always look at the story about Saul and Paul and Silas praying in the night and the prison doors opening, or Peter, and they prayed for him, and Peter walked out. John was on an island as a prisoner. He didn't care. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He didn't care where he was. He didn't care. It's not about the situation. It's about who's within you. It doesn't matter. If I go to jail, I'm still free. Amen. They start persecuting the church here. Who cares? We're still free. That's what we got to realize. Well, the enemy can't do nothing to us. We're already victorious. What can man do to me that God cannot win over? Amen. What can man do to us? Kill me, they'll be in the presence of God. Woo! Why do you not fear heights? Because if I fall down, I'll be in glory. Really? I just want to stay here like Paul because I'm not finished what God has called me to do yet. And neither of you. We got to realize that. What can man do to us? My neighbor doesn't like me. Who cares? Really? As long as not because you're an idiot. If he doesn't like you because you're a believer is one thing, amen? If he doesn't like you because you're an idiot, then we need not to be idiots, amen? We got to be the good neighbors. Have the good-looking house, amen? Have the good-looking grass that's cut. Right? You know when you go to churches, they say, God lives here, and you go there, and the grass is this high. You're like, okay. Even in the natural, we have to have some things that were done. Right? I'm not in jail yet. I need to cut my grass. But remember, he established perfect praise by ordained strength. So last thing is Hebrews 6:12. Never stop moving forward. Amen. Hebrews 6:12 says, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those whose faith and patience have inherited the promise. Look in the word. Find somebody who's going through what you've gone through. Even look in the natural. Well, I don't know if I want to do this. I've come out of this, I'm in this situation. Well, so is Pastor Ken. Go talk to him. Find out how he got out of it. Or are you going through a situation? Go talk to Miss Grace. Find out how she got out of it. I'm a struggling mom. We'll talk to Miss Grace. Talk to Miss Jean. How did they get out of it? They gave. We've all heard the testimonies. Well, I'm not sure about this. Well, find somebody in the church who's already gone through it. I can tell you the basic answer. What does the word say? Amen. If you're going through, like they say, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going. Right? You know, it's hard. You know, it's like when your kids go through something, especially when they're adults, you almost want to weep because you're like, don't stop. I've been there. The kids will never listen to their parents. If they did, they wouldn't be where they are. You know? But it's like sometimes new believers are like that because when they're new, they're still doing this. So we got, as mature believers, we got to be able to say to him, here's what the word says. Now I'll pray with you and we'll get you through. But we got to make sure that we're on this side of the problem so that we can bring somebody through, amen? Not just unbelievers, but even new believers. When people come to faith foundations and they're new to the church, and if they're not sure about something, approach them, give them a hand. Here's how I went through a bad marriage. Or here's what I went through. And give them out, God still loves you. I'm divorced. So am I. Well, I was. But God still loves me. Just because you're divorced doesn't mean your life's over. Amen? Oh, some churches say, I don't care what the church said. What does the word said? The word doesn't say, if you're, you know, this, the word says, do this. Find a man of God like pastor who will still let you walk in your abilities, in your gifts, and your talents. When I showed up, he didn't say to me, have you been married before? Have you been divorced? He didn't ask me any of those questions. He said, I see what's inside you. Can you help me with this? I'm like, sure, I preached before, I can do that. And Pastor Glenn says, I need you to paint the floor. You know, we were talking at I think it was Sunday night with the class and most stuff and talking about something. I said, I can remember, which I always thought was weird, I can remember coming up when we got here and I gave Pastor a resume from another pastor. Here you go. And I thought, I feel like a kid in a candy store. I've never done this before. Here you go. And he's like, can you paint the floor? You know, but it's good though. It's good when you have a good report, amen. But it doesn't matter if you think you've gone through something. Life's not over. Life's not over until you let yourself go and go to glory. Then it begins again. Like, you know, if you're going through something, don't be sluggish. Imitate. Find somebody who's already gone through it, amen. Find somebody in the word that you can follow. Find somebody here at the church or somebody on, like, you know, somebody online or something that you can go through and follow and imitate. How did they get through it? You know, I can give you the scriptures God gave me about something. At least it'll be a starting point for you till it becomes a rhema to you. Amen? Then when you get a rhema, you can do anything. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. I can have the perfect marriage through Christ who strengthens me. It might not be perfect right now, but it's coming. Amen? It might be perfect. I don't know. You have to ask her. You know? It's like I said, don't be fooled by the jacket. I didn't have a perfect life growing up. You know, it's like, oh, it struggles. Been there, done that. I was telling my, you know, I'm almost done. If you're waiting for me, Miss, okay. we were at my mother-in-law's and I was sharing with her some of my family stuff. And she was like, because all you see is me now. You don't see some of the stuff I grew up and some of my family and stuff like that. And it's amazing. Don't look at somebody and think, oh, they're perfect. We all have a testimony, amen. It might not be the same as your testimony, but we all have a testimony, right? If you're going through something, find somebody who's already gone through it. Imitate. Now, he's talking about people in the Word, so you can find people in the Word. Until you've gone to jail and you've sang praises in the middle of the night, or until you got thrown on an island in Patmos and you're throwing rocks around, but you're still in the presence of the Lord, amen? Because I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and they tried killing him twice, at least twice. And he didn't care. He just kept preaching the gospel and writing the seven letters. What a revelation he had. A spirit on the Lord's day. He might have been in jail, but he was still a free man. He wasn't free out here. He was free in here. So we need to realize that when we're going through something, we're still free. Amen? We're still victorious. We're still victorious. When the wall's up, Jericho is still ours. Amen? Everybody stand for a second. Anybody feel encouraged? Yes. Awesome. I just want to praise him just for a few minutes. Just give him some praise. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can bring you glory. We just thank you, Lord, that when we praise you, Lord, it is ordained strength, ordained from you, Father, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can, when we face a situation, that we can continue to praise you and lift you up and exalt you, Lord, and just thank on you and just bring you glory and honor so that we can minister back to you, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that when we have a situation, we can turn to your word. What does your word say? Because the answers are always in your word, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that we can bring you glory. That we don't just have to look to the cross. The cross is just the beginning. But that we are seated on the throne with you, seated on the right hand of power. That we are in you, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that we can bring you glory. We thank you, Lord, that we are not sluggish, that we continue, that no matter what happens, we just continue pressing forward to the gifting and the calling and the high prize that you have for each and every one of us. We just thank you, Lord, that there is an answer to every problem, and it's you. And we just thank you, Lord, for a continued rhema, a continued presence in our prayer life, a continued presence in our praise, a continued presence in our life, a continued presence in our study. For we know that our victory is from within. It's already there to bring you glory. Hallelujah. Oh, Ramba Tarebe. Father, Lord, thank you. Well, you're, you're free to go, but not quite yet. I know I don't do this often, but if you feel that you just need somebody just to come in agreement with you and you're going through something, I don't need to know what the problem is, but if you know what your scripture you're standing on, but you just need somebody to come alongside, you can come up to the front. We just thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. Bring you glory. Hallelujah.